On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" said the Lord. "How do you read?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Well then go and do likewise." I'd like to speak this morning on the man who said woo to a donkey. A man who said woo to a donkey. And because he said woo to a donkey, a Jew was reconciled to a Samaritan, and a Samaritan was reconciled to a Jew. Because he said woo to a donkey, he changed forever the life of the innkeeper who witnessed the miracle. And because he said woo to a donkey, he proved the power of love and compassion to be greater than that of the spirit of hatred and racism and division. All because he stopped his donkey. Because indeed this parable highlights the problems of prejudice and racism. The pure-blood Jews living to the south in Judah would have nothing to do with their northern neighbours, the Samaritans. Why? Well, historically, 700 years or so previously, the Assyrian Empire was ruling the world, and the Assyrian king invaded northern Israel, Samaria, and completely destroyed it and overcame it. And when he returned to his own country, he left behind him hundreds, perhaps a few thousand, Assyrians and other nationalities in Samaria. The result was that the pure-blooded Jews who were then in Samaria intermarried with the Assyrians, and they had, of course, then mixed blood, mixed nationalities. To their pure-blood Jews in the south, that was an anathema. they became, in the eyes of the Jews in Judah, they became offensive, spiritually unclean. They would be regarded as the untouchables. And this is why, as Trevor said on Thursday last at his Bible study, he said a Jew would travel many, many miles to avoid contact with a Samaritan. He would not go through Samaria. If he was travelling really north of Samaria, he would cross the Jordan, go round and back again, but he would not go through. And this throws fresh light on John chapter 4, where our Lord said, or the writer says, our Lord must needs go through Samaria. And there at the well he met the Samaritan woman, and you know the story. Jesus was crossing great divides when he did that. Here, in the middle of the parable, we are finding that the Samaritans were in the picture, and they were a much hated race. It continued. You see, the Samaritans were looked upon as religious heretics. Not only unclean, not only untouchable, but religious heretics. They had their own religion. They rejected Orthodox Judaism. They accepted the first five books of Moses, but that's all. They worshipped on Mount Gerizim. They rejected Mount Zion. They had their own temple, and they rejected the temple in Jerusalem. As far as the Jews were concerned in Judah, they were complete outcasts. And so when we come to verse 30, and we read of a man coming from Jerusalem to Jericho and being robbed and beaten and left half dead, two pure-blood Jews pass him by. It's the hated and despised Samaritan who stopped. But God is gracious. God did indeed provide help. He provided, first of all, the priest, and then he provided a Levite. He both gave them opportunities to minister to this man who lay by the roadside, broken, wounded, and robbed. And they chose not to. They chose not to stop. Oh, they were very skilled within the pristine environment of the temple, to come in and praise him, to sing to his glory, to offer sacrifices, and this they did very, very well. But on the hot, dry, dusty, dirty, dangerous road that led from Jerusalem to Jericho, they chose not to dirty their hands. They liked their religion clean. They liked their religion respectable. They weren't going to dirty their hands on someone lying by the roadside, broken, bloodied, bleeding, and robbed. They had forgotten, it seems, the word of the Lord through Hosea, where he says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than offerings. They were strong on ritual, but very poor on practice. And what of ourselves? In our different places of worship, we know what to do. We know the form. We know how to behave ourselves. We know when to sit down and stand up, particularly if you're an Anglican. You certainly know when to sit down and stand up. You know how to speak with people. You know how to speak with a minister. You've got it sorted. We've got it sorted. But what about out there? On the hot, dry, dusty, dirty roads of everyday life. What about there? How strong are we there? Or are we guilty, sadly, when we are faced with any particular calamity or challenge to our lives regarding other people, and particularly people who are not Christians, people who belong to another faith, people who are of another nationality, and we may not feel comfortable with their culture. How willing are we then to face the challenge of our own culture and cross the divide as that Samaritan crossed the road and come to the side of the one in distress? It's a great challenge. But whilst this parable highlights prejudice, racism, and empty religion, it illustrates happily compassion and humility. Of all people to come along that way on that day, at that time, it had to be the offensive, spiritually unclean, the untouchable Samaritan, who said woo to his donkey. He came to where the broken man lay, and we read, and he had compassion upon him. Now that word compassion is rather stronger than sympathy. If you can imagine a stone rolling forward, the impetus of a stone rolling, that's the idea behind the word compassion. It's a word which is designed to move us. Sympathy, we may feel something. Compassion moves us. It moves our feet. It moves our hands. It's a moving word. And he had compassion. He came to where the broken man lay. He poured in oil and wine to his wounds. We read he bandaged him. And then something very remarkable. He put him on his own beast. Now, in England, that means nothing more than he put him on his own beast. But at that time, in that culture, people who rode on donkeys, horses, camels, were deemed to have a higher social status than those who walked. Yeah? So in putting the broken man onto his own beast, he elevated his status in that society. But in doing that, he lowered his own status by then choosing to walk alongside the donkey, bringing them to the inn. That, I think, is perhaps one of the most remarkable things in the whole of the parable, where a Samaritan lifts the status of the Jew and lowers his own status by that single action of putting him on his own beast. And we read, and he cared for him. And in the Living New Testament, I just read with interest, in parentheses, it says he took care of him all through the night. It wasn't as if the Samaritan took him to the inn, had him put to bed and then went to sleep. He cared for this man all through the night. And then in the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and said to the innkeeper, Now, you take care of him. You see, he was able to say to the innkeeper, you take care of him, because he himself had taken care of the man. Because he had put his own faith into action, he was able to teach someone else. And this is the great challenge, particularly to preachers, I might remind myself. It's one thing to do, it's quite another to teach. And the order that Jesus teaches in the scriptures is first do and then teach. Jesus, we read, was a prophet mighty in deed and in word. Now that's the correct scriptural order. He was mighty in deed and in word. So often, I am great with words, but not so great with deeds, I must say of myself. But Jesus was mighty in deed and in word. And the Samaritan was mighty, may I say, in deed and in word. Because first he did, and then he said to the innkeeper, now you take care of him. You see, deed and word. The Samaritan was prepared to pay the cost of his medical care. He took out 2 pence, which was the equivalent to 2 days' wages. Now, perhaps in your mind you can calculate what you think a day's wage is in comparison with the job that you used to have or you have. Work out what the day's wages is and then multiply by 2, and that's what the Samaritan gave to the innkeeper, 2 days' wages, and said, if it costs you more than this to take care of the man, when I return, I will repay you. This makes the parable unique in that it has no ending. Almost all the other parables have a beginning, a middle, and an end. This has no ending. It's the picture of a Samaritan going away and saying, and when I return, I will repay anything that this man has cost you over and above what I've given you. He is prepared to pay the cost of his medical care. But he paid the cost in other ways. In inverted commas, he paid the cost and he overcame prejudice. Consider what the prejudice was in the eyes of the innkeeper when he saw the Samaritan with the Jew. He paid the cost and overcame prejudice. The Samaritan paid the cost and he put to flight empty religion. His faith was action and then words. And finally, he paid the cost and met the challenge of racism. He cared not that he was despised by the Jews to the south. His heart was in the right place. And because it was in the right place, he overcame prejudice. He put to flight empty religion and he met the challenge of racism. He modelled for all time the true, genuine neighbour. With the Lord's grace, may we go, and in the words of the parable, may we go and do likewise. Give us grace to overcome, to pay the cost out there. And as we receive the grace of God, may we overcome prejudice as we minister to people in community. May we put to flight any thought of empty religion. And may we meet the challenge of racism and go on by the grace of God to be true neighbours to all those out there who need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. May it be so, for his dear name's sake. Amen.